of these years, he's about 120 years old now, has come to the point, show me thy glory. And what a culmination of it all to see that glory. And we left off in chapter 33, verse 23. And it says there, God says, I'll take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, how beautiful that is, that God, he moves his hand, and the ages come forth. He moves his hand, and there's going to be a glory moment. There's going to be a glory time. And he's showing here that he's going to take away his hand, and he's going to show Moses the back parts, because Moses can't see him face to face. He's going to take away his hand for us, and we're going to see him face to face. And I thank God for that, and I thank God in that encouragement. But let's be reminded, that word back parts, one of the meanings of it, is the future, a latter time. And what we're seeing here is, as Paul said, those prophets wrote those things for us. And the type and shadow, the symbolism, the, if you will, the allegory that's going on here, Moses, wonderful, is going to be shown his glory. And by the grace of God, we're in a moment in a time where we take what God has offered us to be his glory. It's a mighty thing. It's just like Abraham. He was given that promise that he sought the continuing city whose builder and maker is God. We're not seeking that city. God has offered us to be that city. The bride adorned, the new Jerusalem descending from heaven, having the glory of God. When he said we have a better thing, we have a better thing. We have exceeding great and precious promises. That's the age that we live in. I'm so thankful to God for all of this. And I pray that, once again, that our excitement and our attention is solely upon this. This is what will be, and this is what will be for eternity. And God help us not to miss it. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 34. Because we're going into the place now that Moses is going to see that glory. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first. I will write upon the tables the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest. I love this. This is how it starts out. Now, remember, Moses went up there and got them tablets, came on back down. Wasn't a good thing going on. He broke them tablets. It wasn't something that was pleasing to look upon. God had a plan in this. But remember what's going on now. Moses is going to see his glory. All right? But it's interesting how these tablets come in. This tells us right away, the only way we're ever going to see the glory of God is through the written word. Do you understand that? It's always got to be the written word. And he's going to write that word. And those tablets of stone, there's another translation for it. It's your heart. And it means to prepare your heart. So your heart needs to be prepared. Isn't that wonderful? And how do we prepare our hearts? Well, I'll tell you what. It's called mercy. Isn't it wonderful? That's how I prepare my heart. I don't prepare my heart by going to a seminary or doing all these different things. I prepare my heart in mercy. Because I know that this is the God that loves me so, that's given me the exact, extreme, infinite opposite of what, as Brother Paul would even say, this chief of sinners deserved. And how wonderful it is that God tells us, prepare your heart. Be ready to receive. And I'm going to write it all on you. And how sweet this is. Even if you were a little bit ornery and you broke up that word before, I'm not stopping. I'm coming. And I'm coming for your words. And I'm coming again and again because I am forever faithful. I am forever patient. And I'm just waiting for that willingness, if you will, to break it all through. And I love that. It is so, you know, because he's going to show the Lord his glory. But you know what? Of all this glory talk and glory talk, before that glory is going to break forth, he's going to write the word. And notice, it's going to be all the written word. He's going to put it all on those tablets of stone. He's going to write it all across his heart. Now, here we go. We're going into all the glory here. You're going to love this. Praise God. So here he says it. Now, verse 2. Be ready. Be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this one verse, we really almost receive the entire bridal message. And I'll kid you not. In the Hebrew, the depth and the meaning, the translation, that we can just, again, we're seeing this through a glass darkly, but I'll tell you what, it's getting so clear. I'm still believing in Jesus' name, Lord, let it be face to face tonight. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to God. But it starts one way, be ready. He didn't say get ready. You know, we've been in this truth a long time now, by the grace of God. It's time to be ready. This isn't just to speak. This is our life. It's our walk. It's everything. This is our message. This is our proposal. And this is our lover of our soul. And listen to this as if the Lord is speaking this to you in this bridal message. As God is speaking to Moses to see glory, let this be you in this place. God speaking to you to be his glory. Be ready. Not get ready, but be ready. I've told you what's coming. What he's saying here, expect it and be ready. That's how you're ready. You expect it. You're not ready by not expecting something. Do you understand that? If you're not expecting it, then you'll never be ready for it. You have to be looking for it. You have to be, as you will, prepared for it, ready for it, alive to it. But here is so beautiful what layers of this meaning of this word ready means in the Hebrew. It means to establish and take aim. Think of that. That's just the beginning. Now, come on. We're about a life, about a mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And how do we get established for that? Paul's gospel. How do we take aim for it? It's Paul's gospel. You'll never take aim for that mark for the prize unless you understand the gospel of Paul. Unless you understand the bridal message, you'll never get what the high calling is. You'll read right through it, and it'll never mean anything to you. But by his Spirit, and being taught these things, as the Word of God said, yes, through the foolishness of preaching, this is what we got. And thanks be to God, we've got it all, because this is what he chooses. Now know this, and I thank the Lord for it. But he tells us here, it is establish and take aim. Be ready. Here's another meaning of it. Arrows for a mark. Yes, isn't that wonderful? That's specific. Arrows for a mark. It's an exact. It's a bullseye. It is that precise, this readiness. What are you expecting? I always remember Brother Hill talking about his mother. Well, if I just get there by the skin of my teeth. I'm not expecting a skin of my teeth delivery. I'm not. I mean, we're talking full assurance of faith believing. When I see him, I'm going to be like him in the fullness and the measure and the stature. Can you imagine that? That's saying a lot of boldness, but I'm bold in that grace. I saw in the truth what grew right up out of that mercy seat. You understand that? It's complete. It's all glorious. Golden, reigning of him. Like him. Praising him. Praise be to God. Bowing to him even. But yet standing. Isn't that amazing? How do you stand triumphant yet you're bowing? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad we get this, aren't you? Hallelujah. But it even gets better. This word ready, it means to be found as a city. Can you imagine? I really, the Father and the Son chuckling in ages past. Oh, honey. Look what we're writing here. You know, this is going to be written. This is what the prophets are going to write for them. And the meaning in these things. You know, they didn't need Hebrew back then, but they sure knew what Hebrew was going to be. They knew what Greek was going to be. And they know how English, praise God, would be too. But I just thank God how this comes out. But to be found a city. Well, what city do you want to be found? New Jerusalem. Amen. Why wouldn't it be? And once again, there was Abraham. He was seeking to see the city. And here we in our vision. Oh no, Lord, I want to be that city for you. Oh, praise God what this is. Listen to this. Be ready. To create and form as a moon and stars. How about being made glory for him? Even sun glory. Can you imagine that? See the beauty in this? I love it. Here's another meaning of ready. To appoint as a king. Why does it mean all these things? Because it has to. Because this is you. This is us. This is what they wrote these things for, was for us. And remember what this is all about. This is the pinnacle of Moses' life, if you will. Son, I'm going to show you my glory. And once again, as we've been rejoicing, Moses is going to be shown the Lord's glory. Yes, he is. That cloud of witness. That cloud in 1 Thessalonians 4 that will be with him in the air. Amen? We know that those are the Old Testament worthies of faith. I'll assure you, Moses is one of them. And praise be to God, just like the ancient Jewish wedding, the whole thing was the groom would go out, because he was the groom. He wasn't just a bachelor at that time. He was already married. They had signed that contract. But he said, I got to go prepare a place for you, honey. But when I get it done, I'll tell you what, right when it's done, I'm here. I'm going to get you. But you don't know when I'm going to get you. Because we have this quirky little thing. And matter of fact, even in the Hebrew culture and in that, the way that they would do that in the ancient days, it was fun because they would always come usually in the night or at the time that she would never expect it. But he would come, that groom, with his friends. So he'd have his gang with him as he would come back to get his wife. And that's why it was a custom. She would always go to sleep with her clothes on. She was ready to go. You got the garments on? Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's marvelous. This is it. And this is why I thank the Lord that he's given us this vision. And you know what? When you look for it, you're going to see it. When you look for it, you know what he's going to do? He's going to show it to you. Because there's nothing more he wants to do than to reveal himself to you. Yeah. I pray for all of us that we just don't sit here and say, well, there's just nothing more to see, or I know the bridal truth. Oh, it makes me just shudder in such sadness. I want to know more. I want to see more. I know you got more love letters in here. Show them to me. And I'm thankful he does. But to appoint as a king, once again, the little lords of all, amen? He's appointed us to that, and to grow up, and to be that, take that place with him. Now listen to this, here we go, be ready. The highest point of the sun in the sky. The highest point, not just the sun in the sky, but the highest point, which means the exceeding glory and brightness. We could go a lot of different places in the Word of God, but we're going to go to Song of Solomon. We're going to be back over here a couple times tonight. But think about that exceeding glory and brightness. Turn over to the 6th chapter of the Song of Solomon. And let's read verses 9 and 10. And this is the bridegroom speaking of the Shulamite, and just so marvelous. He says here, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. Remember that, because we're going to be there in just a minute. Believe it or not, it's going to speak of that here in this verse. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. You don't think that the bride is truly going to be glorified together with him? praise together with him. Because it's his glory, it's him. Now listen to this. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? She's everything. She's just everything. She is the, if you will, the all the splendor of the celestial. She's got it all. She just sparkles, and it's a marvelous thing. And in her splendor. But that's what this means. The highest point of the sun in the sky. The exceeding glory and brightness. Turn on over to Revelation 17. Verses 8 and 9. And I apologize. That's Revelation 19. I think I said 17. 19, 7. And 8. Sorry. I get too excited. We could read chapter 17. It'd do us good too. All right, 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We talk about that word white. Once again, that's the lampros white. Only two individuals, if you will, are, and they are in a sense, but she's a culmination, but she's one, have this lampros white, Jesus himself and his wife. That's it. There's another white, but it's leukos. And that leukos white is not the same as the lampros white. The leukos white, as you'll see throughout the word of God when it speaks of the robe and the different garments of different ones in heaven. It's a leukos white. But of the Lamb's wife, it's the lampros white. It's the most brilliant. It's the most illustrious. It's just beyond, because it's the sun glory, because it's like him. Marvelous. So, this is the very glory of Jesus Christ himself. Now, one last one, and this might be the very best of ready. Look it up yourselves if you'd like to. You can see this. These definitions are in the lexicon. They're also in the concordance. They're in all of these different ones. And there's many other of them too. But we're going to move along, and this will be the last one. And you got to get ready for this. It means mature breasts. Mature breasts. I just sat there and I laughed. I said, Lord, are you kidding me? How could it mean all these things that are so exact and precise to the Lamb's wife? Amen. I mean, you know, the Song of Solomon, that little sister, she said, I have no breasts. She couldn't take place and take her place as that Shulamite, her elder sister, because she was mature. And you think about how, again, the description of her in the Song of Solomon. Go back and read that about how ravishing and fully mature she is. It says she has breasts like towers. Her fruit, her usefulness. What a vessel of glory. But this, I guess, was just a coincidence that all of this hit just exact. Oh my, it's so incredible. And it's all for, as we go back to Exodus, be ready. So it's all that. Amen? Be established in. That's how we started it, right? Ready meant established. Be established in that. Believe it. Believe it. I was rejoicing this morning. The Lord woke me up, took me right into Galatians and had me start to read. I said, why am I in Galatians and Hebrews and all that? The promise of faith. And I kept reading that. The promise of faith. And the promise of faith of Jesus Christ. The backing. The power. The very life. the promise of faith of Jesus Christ. Be established. We're going to get, I believe, some sermons on that soon. You can be assured, because that was lights going off everywhere. Early in the morning, praise be to God. So, what does he say here? Be ready when? In the morning. In the morning means the beginning of the day. The bride is gone at daybreak. We rejoiced in this the other night. Mark 13 speaks of the four watches. Okay? The first watch happens in the evening. The bride's gone before that. She's gone in the morning. Yes. So be mindful as you kind of go along in this. And you can go back and look at the watches. And then as well, Brother Joe and Chrisette had published that wonderful little chart of the watches. And I think it's online as well too, if you'd like it. But next, it says, be ready in the morning. And what? Come up. Come up means to ascend. It means to be taken up. It means to literally be carried away. But it doesn't stop there. It means be superior, to be exalted, to be offered. I mean, think of those words. To be superior, come up to be exalted, and come up to be offered. It is. That's what we're going for. But we know that, praise the Lord, in heart, that's being established now. I'm ready for that now. Because of the promise of faith. Amen? You see? That wonderful grace, praise God, that causes that faith to believe. Hallelujah. And what a promise that backs that faith. Hallelujah. Now, these are the perfection in the words of his love. And really, as you read this, it is too much, isn't it? But it's obvious what he wants. He leaves us no doubt. He doesn't cause us to wonder what he's after. Not even one little bit. His intentions are made plain, and they're written on the hearts of those that desire it. They are. That's written on you. You know that. This is my story, and this is my song. And I am praising my Savior all the day long. It's so glorious, see? And what praise he's put on our hearts to praise him with. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, this is a double portion, if you will, because what does he say? He says, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning. My kids would always get after Daddy. Daddy, you told us so many times. How many times did your father tell you about your bridegroom? How many times does the bridegroom tell you about him? He's very insistent about a precise time of meeting, isn't he? The morning. The morning. The break of day. The beginning of our day. I know it's the Lord's day, but I know he's told me, honey, it's our day. It's our day. I'm sharing this with you. This is our day. And we're thankful that this is the calling that we have. He wants us in that rank. He wants us for his glory. Now, here's the next part. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning. Where? Into Mount Sinai. Now, I thank the Lord what we know about Sinai, and there's quite a bit we know about it. But I'll tell you what, let's thank the Lord for what we know and let us have the Holy Ghost expand on it. How's that? That word mount means crowning. So he says, I want you to come on up to the crowning. It also means the mount of the sun. It's an interesting thought there just in the word mount. Now we haven't got to Sinai yet, but how fitting this is. The crowning, the sun, if you will, S-U-N, because Sinai means thorns. Sinai means thorns. Now I want you to think about the crowning of thorns. You're coming up to the place of the crowning of the thorns. This is the lamb. This is the lamb's wife. This is the lamb slain. Praise God. This is the lamb that was crowned with thorns. The Lamb that was made sin for us who knew no sin. See, they did not realize. They thought they were mocking Jesus with that crown of thorns. That was the glory. And the Lamb slain will always be the glory. The Lamb slain will always, praise God, be the glory. Turn over to Revelation 5. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12. Now, we know these are the two companies that are singing together there. This is the four living ones and the 24 elders. And they sing this and give this praise to God. Chapter 5, verse 11. And I, John, beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Always going to be that. He's the glory. That Lamb slain is the glory. Amen. It was the Lamb slain that would bring many sons like him to glory. It had to be the Lamb slain. How thankful we are. He had to be one of us. Praise God. Now, going back to 34. This is exciting, isn't it? It's alive and it's before us. It's in real time. You know, you're looking back. I see this back. I see is this in the future, as it says, but I see it now. Because God incorporates all of it. His word incorporates all of this. And I pray that you see these things in this experience that God is bringing into us. And I thank the Lord for it. But he says here, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning into Mount Sinai, and present thyself. Wow, this is something. So Moses, what he's asked here to do, and what we're asked to do, is present thyself. Present means to stand. Isn't that something? That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Think about Esther. How she was presented to the king. Go on in there now. And then, praise God, what did she do? It was on her own volition. She moved in a love, a spectacular love. And she presented herself out of order, as man would say, but so timely, because it was the time to be presented where the king would say, "Honey, what's mine is yours." Amen. I don't even care what you're going to ask. It's yours. You don't even need to ask, really, because it's yours. Amen. It's beautiful. Now do you understand about this ruling and reigning jointly together with him? See, when a king tells you what's mine is yours, he's talking about authority and ruling and reigning with that. I understand, and this is the beautiful part, is he is God. He's it. But in that beautiful Savior that we have, he's going to share that all with us. But why wouldn't it be if I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and I'm made one with him? Maybe that helps my heart get around it a little bit better, being such a stoop human. But yet by the Spirit, there's wonderful believing and faith in, yea, the deep things of God. So how awesome is that? But present thyself means to stand. Mentioned it earlier. Believe in the promise of faith. Believe in the promise of faith. It's so wonderful. And I'm rejoicing in the promise of the faith of Jesus Christ. The Philadelphia church in Revelation, what are they made in the house of the Lord? Pillars. They stand. Amen? Pillars don't do a lot. They don't really move. Matter of fact, they don't move at all. They just stand. Stand right in, and they're part of the foundation, part of Him. They just rise up, and then they kind of hold together in a way all the pretty parts. The ceiling, the overhang, and everything else, the walls, all of it supported, if you will, in a lot of ways, by them pillars. It's amazing. All the intricacies coming off of that pillar. But we don't learn to stand there, we learn to stand here. As Joshua in his triumphant shout, he said, let's stand, withstand, and having done all, stand. How about Abishag before David? You know what, honey, just stand there, let me see you. I don't want you to move, I just need you to be still. It's breathtaking. You've ravished me. I just want to see you. How wonderful that is. How about the cherubim? And I was thinking about this. They rise up out of mercy, and you know what they do? They stand in mercy. I think it's beautiful. They rise up out of mercy, but they stand in mercy. They bow to mercy. They praise mercy. They gaze only at mercy. They don't move around, they just stand. Praise God. And see, that's what we're called to right now. We're called to that reigning stand right now. Merely to stand in the knowledge and the love, to be still. By the grace of God, abide, to endure. Nothing else is required but to stand and to let Him adorn us and mold us and make us after all His perfect and complete will. Now going back to verse 2 again. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me. Isn't that beautiful? There to me. It's got to be there. It's got to be precisely at that height. You got to come up to that mount, that place of glory. Isn't that why the Lord called him out at the very beginning? Come out. Come unto me out from among them. You got to come out from that camp. But you come unto him first. You're going unto him out from among the camp. And so this is our calling. And the Holy Ghost takes us there. But this is the best part. We come to him. You're coming to me. Isn't that beautiful? And I love that as well too. Those that will be his glory, he doesn't come to earth for them. They come to him. That's a precious meeting, see. That's a wonderful meeting in the air. We come to him there, at that place. And he says to me, that means you're mine. You're not coming to everybody else. We're not coming to a gathering. You're coming to me. You know, and I love the song that we're going to gather at the river and all that. You know, I'm coming to him. That's my message. I'm just telling you. I'm meeting him. We got a meeting time. You're mine and no one else's. This is a vessel, praise God, that is only for the master's use. So many are caught up. And I thank God. I know I'm going to see my loved ones. I know that's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. This whole thing is about one thing, and that's about seeing him, my first love, first. And that's exactly what the meeting in the sky is all about. It's about meeting the bridegroom. We will get to the wedding banquet later on, but there's got to be a half hour of silence first. Just see it. Just read it. Let the Holy Ghost read this to your heart, because this is how it lays out. And he has. He's given us our lives. Amen. And our sweet lives. The romantic part of our sweet lives, if you will. And this is what he's calling us to. Now again, how exceeding beyond? No. But yet I can see these things. Yea, the deep things by his Spirit. So how beautiful. Now, it's still not over. In this meeting, there is more love that's oozing from his heart. He says at the very end, be ready in the morning, come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Once again, the top of the mount. Remember how John said, John said, I had to be taken to a high mountain, and then I had to look up. See where Moses is being taken to? To the top of the mount, just like John, to see the future. You see? He just telling, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Here, I'll tell you the story again over here. And I'll tell you the story again over here. And I'll tell you again over here. And it just keeps going, oh my Lord, how you love us. It's so beautiful. But see, you would never even have a remote idea of what this is and what this means without the Apostle Paul. Amen. You'd have no clue. Think of where he's brought you. All of us think about Sweet Sam, mountain in Mexico. And now they're going to have to look up from the highest mountain to see you coming down, Sam, huh? I got a different mountain for you, son. And all of us, how we got here, honeys, you know. Isn't it marvelous? It's all the perfect way in Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. But it says here, to the top of the mount. Now, the top of the mount, it means the chief, the choicest, the best. That's what that interprets. Not making this stuff up. The chief, the choicest, the best. What did we read in the Song of Solomon 6:9? She is the choice one. She's the only one. Well, wait a second. I guess she's got sisters or daughters or whatever. No, she's just the only one. She's so beautiful, it just wiped out everything else. You know, something can shine so bright that everything else kind of disappears. That's what happens with the sun. When the sun shines so bright, you know, them stars are still up there and all that stuff's up there. But you can't see but one thing. And that's the glory. Aren't you thankful that's all you see? I don't see anything but that. I know there's palm wavers. I know there's a lot of different things going on there. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I see one thing. I see looking out from the midst of the throne with him. That's it. That's what he's called us to. And all I had to hear was, son, be ready. Isn't that wonderful? And why? Because we have the word. And what are we? We're his workmanship. What am I doing? I'm being still and standing in it. I'm letting him do all the work. He just says, be ready. That's an attitude. It's an attitude of grace. It's an attitude of faith. It's a big, huge attitude in mercy. See, I look into the promise of faith. I don't look into me. I'm going to get real discouraged real fast. This is faith. This is the heart. This is believing God. You see that? And he's given you this message to believe, to stand in, to see, to have enlightened eyes of understanding, to read this and say, thank you, Lord, there is so much more here. There's so much more here. I'm thankful for what others have studied and written because I feast on it. But I'm thankful for where God has us. And he has us here. And what a glory day it is. If you're in this day. But if you're in last week. Or 30 years ago. Or 50 years ago. You ain't in the glory for this day. You've got to move.
Hallelujah.
You've got to move. And I love you enough to tell you that. My heart breaks to tell you that. But you have to move. Because he is moving. Let's just get verse 3. It's quick. It really is almost too much to take, isn't it? Your heart kind of sick of love? My heart is sick of love. Let him keep whispering, honey, I love you, I love you. This is why, you know why I take people, Jess, you look tired. Well, he wears me out. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, and it's not to boast, I'm thankful. This is all I do. This is what I got time for. And I don't have enough time for it, but he gets her done. And it's amazing how God does this. So, verse 3. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. I'm just going to leave you with this. And then I think we need to touch back on this. But it's the exact same, if you will, message to the Shulamite in Song of Solomon chapter 4. Turn over there with me. And this will just be a lovely thing to meditate on tonight as we've read these things. In Song of Solomon chapter 4. Go on over to verse 6. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. This is the mount of thorns, isn't it? Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana. From the top of Shemur and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all the spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. As he said there, no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that. You think he's got you? Huh? Tell you what, I hope not a one of us came in here or go out of here the same way we came in. This is exciting. I mean, this is exciting. Praise God. He's lovely. All together, lovely. Praise God. Let's be dismissed instead.